Welcome to episode 44 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. I want to open this week's show with a couple of questions. What happens if you're driving to a location and somewhere along the way you realise you've forgotten your tripod? What about if the sun goes in and the wind picks up, all at the exact moment you're about to take that award-winning picture you've been planning for months? Now, this week's episode is all about adaptability on location. Very often, conditions aren't perfect when we come to take pictures, but with a bit of lateral thinking and some resourcefulness, you'd be surprised at how well we can get around the problem. So, let's get straight into it. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 44. It's coming up to 2:30 in the afternoon. It's a beautiful sunny afternoon, and according to the readout on my car temperature gauge, it's 20 degrees outside. Blue sky, puffy white clouds. It's just lovely. The roads are dry, and yeah, just a lovely drive. This is what I want to do to tell you today is just about how you can be resourceful as a photographer. And this has come about because as I record this, this is actually my second recording following the Active Photographer Jolly, which, for those of you that don't know, is an opportunity for people to immerse themselves for a weekend in the great outdoors, their love of the outdoors, and their passion, their enthusiasm for photography. And I'll be putting a link in the show notes to the Active Photographer Jolly event. One of the things that I shared over the course of that weekend that we've just had was that you know, there's this thing with photography. It's very accessible. Digital technology and accessories that are available are getting cheaper, they're readily available, and it's not unusual for people to go ahead and spend their money on items which, frankly, are, yes, they're nice and shiny, yes, they have a purpose, but they're actually not that necessary. They're nice to have, but will you actually use them? Those of you that listen to the Active Photographer Podcast regularly, those of you that look at the website to see the posts that I put up on there, you will remember a post that I wrote some time ago, a few months ago, that was, I believe it was called, referred to photographic jewellery. And that phrase I actually borrowed from a guy called Chris Packham, which certainly in the UK you will most likely recognise his name as being a wildlife television presenter. He's also a wildlife photographer. And back in the 90s, he produced a programme that was called Chris Packham's Wild Shots, and it was all about photographing wildlife, whether you happen to take a day out at the zoo, or whether you're in the highlands of Scotland trying to photograph wildlife in its natural habitat. The term photographic jewellery, and he was spot on, related to items like filters, little tripods, gizmos and gadgets that you buy because you think they're going to be useful and help you become a better photographer, but actually a lot of them end up in the bottom of your camera bag or in a cupboard at home, not seeing the light of day. And I completely see what he was getting at, and it is true. In that post that I wrote entitled Photographic Jewellery, I was talking specifically about filters. And I won't go into it now, I'll put a link in the show notes and you can see what I was getting at. And the crux of the article was that there are a handful of filters that are going to be useful for you, and you'll use them time and time again. The rest of them, actually, you probably won't. Anyway, getting back to the jolly weekend, this weekend, we had a little, we had a walk around on, well, we did a lot of walking actually, but what I wanted to do was give everyone a little goodie bag. And there were items, I'm not going to tell you exactly what we did with these items. If you want to make suggestions and leave them in the comments section, by all means do so. I won't necessarily outright say, yep, that's exactly what we did with those items, because I want this to be something that when hopefully you guys come along on a jolly, you'll remember me talking about this and you think, wow, what's that he's going to be sharing with, you know, what are you going to be using these items for? But we had, for example, a sock, a bolt, a washer, a piece of string. We had a bag of rice. What else? We had a piece of tin foil, like kitchen foil. We had a waste bin liner. We had a pad of post-it notes, like sticky notes, and a pen. And that was all given out somewhere along the way to those people that were attended, and to see their expression when I handed out one each to everyone, the look of bemusement, wonderment, kind of like, yeah, you know, are you serious? Yeah, why are you giving us this? To not kind of necessarily equate those items with how they might be used. The whole thing with the jolly is I'm passing on my knowledge, and a lot of this was picked up through my experience of first getting interested in photography when I was 8 years old. So I've picked up a lot of information. Some of it has been very useful, some of it hasn't, and I've even passed on some of those things that haven't been, because it is of use to people. But with these few items, when you're outdoors, and even if you didn't have those items and put them together in the configurations that I intended them for, when you're outdoors and you're thinking that everything is conspiring against you, and it doesn't have to be outdoors, it can be at a party, it can be in your back garden, it can be, I don't know, you could be at a show and you wanted to, I don't know, steady your camera or, you know, whatever. A lot of the time people think, do you know what? I've pushed my camera as far as I can. There's nothing else in this situation that I can do to get the result I want or to get a better result. I'll give you a prime example. I was with one of the people that was at this weekend's jolly, and I said to him, how are you getting on, you know, what are you photographing? It turns out he was photographing a detail on a tree, and we'd just been talking about depth of field and shutter speed and aperture and all the rest of it. And just in a, you know, not to knock the guy, just a throwaway remark, he said, I'm going to get my tripod out. And I knew that actually probably didn't need to. I said, well, why do you need your tripod? And he said, because I can't get the camera steady. Or I can't get the results I want because they're a bit blurry. And at this point, I hadn't come up with these ingenious, this master plan of how people can sort of use these items to help their pictures. So I said to him, I said, okay, well, look, let's just suppose you are out with your wife and you were walking along a country track and you were presented with this situation. There's a little bit of light rain coming at that time. And so that is a consideration. I said to him, what would you do, before I say anything, what would you do in this situation if you didn't have your tripod, if you were just going for walking the dog of an evening and you just thought, oh, I'll take my camera, not going to go on a photo shoot, but just going to take my camera, what would you do to get the results that you wanted? And that was good because we had talked a little bit of technical,
And I wanted to see how what he had taken in the hour or so before had sunk in that, to how he was going to apply that to the real world, to the pictures that he was just taking. And there was a little, you know, he looked a little bit puzzled and said, well, the pictures aren't sharp enough. And I said, okay, well, what do you think is not making them sharp enough? Is your focusing spot on, which it actually was? I said, is it the aperture that you're using that is not allowing enough sharpness back to front to what you want to record? Are you trying to go close up to get a fine detail and blow the background out, have it nice and out of focus? Or are you trying to get it pin sharp front to back? And what it was, actually, was that the shutter speed that he was using was not sufficient. It was not fast enough, given the aperture and the ISO and all the situation around him. The shutter speed was not fast enough to freeze the movement. And to give you an example, one of the piece of tips that I gave was something that I, over the course of the weekend, was something that I picked up years ago. And that is, if you are wanting to handhold your camera in any given situation, and you want to make sure that those pictures are not just sharp, but free from camera shake, that's the important bit, free from camera shake, whatever lens you're using, the focal length, even if it's a zoom lens, let's say, for example, the zoom lens you have, i.e. a lens that you're able to vary the focal length to be closer or further away from things from your where you're standing. If you have, for example, you are shooting at a focal length of 50 millimeters, okay, it's kind of quite standard, you would want to have the slowest shutter speed that you would comfortably handhold your camera at would be the fastest shutter speed that most closely matches that lens focal length. So, on the scale of shutter speeds, a 50th of a second, most likely your typical shutter speeds are either side of a 50th, of 50 millimeters is a 40th of a second or a 60th of a second as a shutter speed. Now, in an ideal world, you would be shooting something faster than that, but given that scenario, you would be thinking, right, I want a minimum of a 60th of a second to comfortably handhold my camera to make sure that I don't have camera shake. Some people have steadier nerves than others. If you smoke or if you drink caffeinated drinks, especially if you're having the likes of Red Bull first thing in the morning and you're going out to take pictures, you might find that given how your body copes with trying to keep steady, you might go down to a 15th of a second and comfortably handhold your camera. You might find that ordinarily you'd be able to comfortably handhold at something like a 20th of a second. But where the wind is blowing around, blowing a gale, and you got rain driving at you, you might actually think that you need to go up a bit more than normal. So a rule of thumb, whatever your focal length of lens, you want to as closely match the shutter speed that you're using to that. So 50 millimeter lens, 60th of a second is going to be a good starting point. Won't always work every time because there are so many factors involved, but just try it. Next time you're out there, try it and see what happens. So I'm stood there with this chap talking about the pictures that he's trying to take, and I say to him, okay, you haven't, just imagine, because he said, I'm going to get my tripod out, my bag. I said, just forget your tripod. For this scenario, you haven't got your tripod. how are we going to work around it? What ISO are you using? Excuse me. You probably picked up, guys, that I'm actually yawning and trying to hide my yawns quite a lot. We've been on our feet constantly, just walking around, taking pictures. I've been moving around everyone, keeping everyone happy, teaching people all these techniques and stuff. It's been fantastic, but it does take its toll on people. So yeah, do excuse me if I yawn. So we're stood there, and in fact we're knelt down on the ground. It was pine needles and leaves and pine cones and the trees around us. And I said, what ISO are you using? And of course, ISO is your camera's way of, or rather your way of telling the camera how sensitive to be to the light around it. So here we go, big yawn. I said to him, what are you using? And it was something like, I think, ISO 200 or ISO 4500. And I said, okay, well, I know what you're doing there. The ideal thing is to have as low an ISO as possible to get the finest quality. You don't get digital noise that you might do at really high ISO settings. I said, but just try this and it will help you get to know your camera. When you look at the pictures on your screen, and also especially when you go back home and you look at the pictures there, to see how well your camera copes with higher ISO levels. Set the camera up a little bit. Think about the aperture that you're using, and you're still wanting to use ISO whatever. You're still using F8 to get a good degree of sharpness. Just set this up and tell me what it's telling you when you look through the viewfinder, what it's actually telling you. And he was saying that from going on something like an eighth of a second or something, he was getting, I don't know, an eighth, he was getting something like a 30th of a second. And already, given the lens he was using and all the rest of it, he was getting sharper results. And I said, okay, well, you've got a situation here where, because of the lens you're using, because of the what's in front of you, you've got the opportunity to open the lens right up to go to a wider aperture, something like, rather than F8, you can be looking at F5.6 or 4 or 2.8, and that will give you, obviously, it's the smaller the number, the bigger the hole, it's letting in more light. So because the camera's getting more light, it doesn't need to keep the shutter open as long as possible. So therefore, you get faster shutter speeds. And you know what? From his initial starting point, like 5 minutes before, or actually less than 5 minutes before, but the starting point, thinking, do you know what? I'm going to get my tripod. I can't get a usable picture. He was getting a variety of pictures, actually, that were nice and clean, free from digital noise, nice and sharp, no motion blur, no camera shake because he couldn't hold it steady. And he didn't actually need any other form of support other than his hands holding the camera. And another piece of advice I gave to people, I was saying that a lot of people, when they come to take a picture, they will take a deep breath in and they will hold their breath and take the picture and then slowly breathe out. And I was saying to everyone, just try. I didn't get everyone to stand there sort of breathing at me. But I said, when you're next taking your next shot, yes, take a deep breath, or just take a breath, and then just slowly breathe out. Those of you that meditate, if you think of about your breathing when you're meditating, exactly the same way. Just, you know, just let a slow breath out, and as you're doing that, just gently release the shutter and take a picture. By doing that, your body is under less strain that strain that we'd have by, you put your body on edge by trying to hold your breath. And especially if you think, oh right, I'm ready to take this picture, and you hold your breath and you think, oh hang on, that's not quite right. There can be a tendency to just get, you know, carry on holding your breath. And it just puts the body under pressure, and you know, it does make a heck of a difference to your pitches and the results you get. So there are ways around things, a way to be resourceful. I could very well share the nuggets of knowledge. Yeah, that's a good thing. I like that. I'll keep that. The nuggets of knowledge that I passed on with these little goodie bags. But I'm not going to, because I still want to keep that as just a little surprise for those of you that are interested in coming along. Those of you that want to come to the Active Photographer Jolly, it was so well received. It far exceeded my expectations. Clearly, that shows me that I got it right. There are some things that can be improved. I'm always learning. Some things that I will change in the future. Some things that are fine as they are, but maybe just need adjusting a little bit. Others that are just absolutely fine as they are. But the feedback I got shows that it was a fantastic weekend. And yeah, all the people that were there, and they're very small groups, sort of, you know, we're thinking like 8 to 10 people. Everyone without fail said that they would be happy to recommend the event to their friends and colleagues. So if that sounds like something that you're interested in, I'll be putting a link in the show notes. You can get in touch with me directly, and ways to do that are coming up in a moment. Or just tell me what you think, or register interest, whatever you want to call it, in the comments section after this, in the show notes of this show. So to sum it up, there are ways to be resourceful when you're outdoors, when you're indoors, when you want to get pictures, when you think that you have exhausted all your knowledge, all your techniques, that you may not have thought about. And you don't have to, essentially, means you don't have to go home and think, right, first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to go on to eBay, I'm going to go on to my favourite, you know, photography online store, or go to the local high street shop and spend £5, £50, £200, whatever it is you think you need to spend to sort out that problem. You don't always need to. And that's something I wanted to get across this weekend. And that's what I wanted to get across to you guys with this recording. So on that note, I'm going to leave it there, as I am just about to turn off the motorway. I'm probably about 10 minutes away from being back home, and I am very much looking forward to sitting down and having a nice cup of tea. Of course, I've got to unpack everything, charge my batteries up. I've got shoots at the beginning of next week. I've given myself a day to get everything sorted from this weekend. I'm going to try and put a little video together, set up an album on Flickr for us to share our pictures, and I will be linking to that in the show notes for this show as well. But yeah, I just want to sit down and have a nice cup of tea. I've been in a tent in the great outdoors for the last few days, and I'm looking forward to actually sitting down, nice cup of tea, and just reflecting on this weekend and how resourceful I've been and how resourceful the people around me have been. So any thoughts and suggestions, again, chip in and let me know what you think.
It's always nice to share one's knowledge, and this leads me nicely into a little request that I have for you. I'm about to start producing some 60-second style hints and tips videos shortly, and of course I'd really like your input. So the question is, what would you like to see? Perhaps there's a technique that you've been puzzling over, or an item of kit that's in your camera bag which you've not used yet because you maybe don't understand it, or maybe you do use it but think you could get more out of it and just don't know how to get to that extra level. Whatever it is you'd like to know more about, let me know and I will see what I can do. Now you can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget, I'm on Twitter, at Giles Babbage. And for the latest news, web links, more hints and tips, you can always check out The Active Tog on Twitter as well. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer, or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So, thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast.